is a Fox News alert. I'm Kathleen Maloney. We have projected presidential winners in some key states. Let's go live now to the Fox News Decision Desk and Lisa Brady.
Clean. Fox News can now project that Donald Trump will win Florida, the biggest and most significant battleground state that was up for grabs tonight. A major victory for Trump, giving him 29 more electoral votes. In addition, Fox News projects Trump will win the bellwether state of Ohio and North Carolina. Hillary Clinton, meantime, picking up a key swing state in Colorado, according to Fox exit polls and partial vote returns. Fox News also projecting Clinton will win California and its 55 electoral votes, the largest single batch in the country. Clinton also winning Washington State and Hawaii, while Trump picks up Idaho. The Fox News Decision Desk also projecting Republicans will keep control of the U.S. House. Kathleen.
Thanks, Lisa. And we have Fox's Grinnell Scott at Trump headquarters over at the New York Hilton. And Grinnell, it must be crazy with all of these results coming in.
These results coming in is getting this crowd whipped into a frenzy. Ohio and North Carolina came in for Trump. We're hearing now Florida has come in for Trump, and supporters are letting out audible gasps, knowing that this is within reach. In chatting informally with some Trump supporters, Ohio staying red, North Carolina staying red, Florida in the column now, and that's spurring them on. Now they need places like Michigan and Wisconsin to keep their plan in place to win the White House. Trump announced many months ago that he was going to change America. And with the way these vote totals are going, he may just have the chance to do that, Kathleen.
Thanks, Grinnell. You're listening to Fox News Radio, fair and balanced.
You are listening to election coverage with Justice and Drew on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130 and 103.5 FM.
Welcome back to Election Night Results with Justice and Drew. Be sure to tune in tomorrow morning starting at 6 a.m. Hell, we might just be on the whole time starting at 6 a.m. for more analysis, more results, plus your calls. Make sure to use the hashtag TCNT on Twitter if you want to communicate with the show. The phone number to call us is 651-989-5855. I'm Drew. That over there is John Justice. The lovely and talented Samantha Sansevier just took her headphones off, so she can't respond.
And she's going to have her election watching future destroyed,
yeah,
based off of the outcome of this election so far. A quick update before we kind of get to some number crunching here. Again, I've kind of popped over and I'm keeping an eye on this New York Times live presidential forecast model they have going on. And they basically have three different gauges. They look like speedometers. Right now, chance of winning the presidency, Trump is sitting at 95%. Electoral votes at about 298 to 300 is where they're sitting at. Hillary has got to pick up Nevada, Wisconsin, and Michigan. We don't know Nevada yet. We do know that she's down and has been down for a long time this evening. I don't think I've seen her up once, maybe once in Michigan. And she's currently down 46 to 49 in Wisconsin. Let's go over to Mike and Brian at the Minnesota desk, taking,
yep,
your phone calls and providing commentary not only on the national election, but more specifically what's happening here in Minnesota. 651-989-5855. Guys, real quick, anything you're noticing on the national level, and then give us an update on what's happening here in Minnesota and in Minneapolis.
Well, I think what's interesting a little bit is that, you know, Hillary seems to be having a comfortable lead in Minnesota. This isn't, last I saw was like 55-37, something like that. But what I'm seeing on the House side is actually quite striking. Now, a lot of the most contested seats, including Dakota County, which doesn't have any results yet, some of these are still very early, but some seats that the DFL had to win are going quite handily to Republicans right now. In Red Wing, which was an open seat, certainly something that the DFL had targeted, Barb Haley, the Republican candidate, is up quite handily over Lisa Bailey. We're seeing in St. Cloud right now both Republican House members are winning. Not that much is in there, and it all depends what happens with the college. But some of the seats that they had to win, they just aren't even that competitive in, they being the DFL. So right now, this is seeming like a very, very, very good night for House Speaker Kurt Dowd.
And this is, as far as the Senate goes, there's still way too much out there to be, you know, anything but cautiously optimistic, especially with the loss of David Hand.
Yeah.
But if you can do this math and sort of assume that the result holds in Plymouth and that you essentially replace Hand with Paul Anderson, the rural Republicans with the early precincts coming in are up huge. And I mean, to the point where it's kind of hard to imagine that reversing wholesale. I'm looking at probably 5 pickups right now, being, I think, fairly conservative. But I mean, again, it's still very early, but they need 6. So the Senate majority in Minnesota is very much still up for discussion. And again, we're going to be looking at this probably for another few hours before we know. These things are trickling in so slow. But I was one that thought that early in the year that this was possible and probably by this path. But to see it actually come together is quite something.
For those that are tuning in to Twin Cities News Talk and Justice and Drew with Mike and Brian and Sam this evening, if you're kind of listening and watching TV, if you happen to have Fox News on, commentary just a moment ago from Katie Pavlich, who's a weekly guest on Justice and Drew. She's going to be on live with us Thursday at 8:30. Also, a little bit later in the week, SE Cup, CNN host, is going to be on with us on a Thursday show at 9 o'clock, and tomorrow morning with their reaction as well. Everybody knows him. Pete Hegseth will be joining us at 8:30.
So and his hair.
And his hair. That yeah. broadcast
Pete
will start
his hair
at 6 a.m. Tomorrow morning.
Glorious.
As we get your reaction from a sleepless Justice and Drew tomorrow night.
Most likely.
If the trajectory keeps going yeah. the way that it's going.
We might be pulling an all-nighter.
We
right
got
now.
Rooms here, but I don't think we're going to be using them. A couple just quick notes. A friend of the show, Jim Nash, I want to send a congratulations to him. He handily won re-election there. Seeing that Mary Shapiro, running as a Republican in my district, Eden Prairie, has lost to Lori Pryor. Jennifer Loon re-elected in her district as well. Max Reimer, who we had on the show this morning in 49B, not all the precincts are in, but he is a trailing Paul Rosenthal in that district.
Hey guys, and let's do a bit of a circle again. Let's go in reverse. We'll start with Drew, and then we'll go to the Minnesota desk, Mike, and then Brian. You know, we've been talking about what this means for the GOP potentially if Trump ends up pulling this off, and he's inching ever closer, and you're beginning to see the telltale signs of some media outlets that are beginning to have that discussion as it relates to a potential Trump victory tonight. But let's talk about Hillary Clinton for a moment.
Why? Other than her tears, what do I have to talk about?
Did they just call
Utah?
Yeah, Utah.
They
just called
Utah
for Donald Trump.
55%
of the vote.
Ordinarily, that wouldn't be remarkable.
No, but with Evan McMullen
right,
holding
right,
a strong
yeah.
there,
Egg yeah. McMuffin was definitely
but,
a thing.
But Drew, seriously, let's start with you. You know, when you look at the fact that we've been through a couple of these elections where the GOP's gone down. We know that. We've been through it. We know that they always, oh, it's the death knell of conservatism.
Right.
Republicans are over. They've got to figure it all out. Look. We know what's happened with Hillary Clinton. We know what the DNC did with Bernie Sanders. We've read all the WikiLeaks emails. We know of the corruption going on there. They put up this candidate who, for all intents and purposes, wanted Donald Trump as their opponent.
Yeah.
This was
right.
this was Hillary Clinton's number one
yeah.
pick.
That's yep. a good point.
And she is poised to beat her.
You could even make a strong case that he is her opponent
because
she wanted him. I mean, they were
yeah, so
some
Hillary,
of the WikiLeaks emails indicate that his nomination was somewhat partially orchestrated by Hillary Clinton.
So what does that mean for Dems moving forward now?
Well, let me opine on that, because I've been wondering about this sort of in the alternative, and now it's coming sort of to reality. who is their bench? You know, they really spent, and I hope I'm not parroting this off something you guys said, but if I am, it's brilliant. That they've spent, basically, the Democrats have spent 8 years, and really quite a bit longer than that, grooming her to be the president. And who's next, I suppose, is the question.
I don't know if I'd phrase it as grooming her to be president, but I think they've spent the last 8 years going, she really wants to be president.
Preparing for the coronation.
And we can't stop her.
She's so persistent.
She's going to do this. I guess we better just accept it. I don't know who their bench is. Their bench, I mean, Elizabeth Warren is the first name that pops into mind. You know, she's not, you know, in the realm of the political arena, she's not too old to be a factor. She's a relative newcomer in the arena. She's loved by the progressive base. She's loved by the Sanders base of the party. So that's the only name, and you need more than one. You know, it can't just be, all right, 4 years from now, it's going to be Warren's turn. I mean, they need to do some regrouping on their side, and they need to figure out their identity, and they have to solve their own rift. You know, the rift on the GOP side is widely reported. They got to figure out their own rift, though, between the establishment Democrats and the younger Bernie Sanders, far more progressive wing of the party.
Well, winning certainly helps heal a lot, or helps the healing process a lot, and I imagine we'll wade through that ourselves on this side of the aisle.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see if that rift, which I agree with you, has been there all along, but I think they've been very confident and sort of able to paper over it. It'll be interesting to see what happens tomorrow, of course, if this result holds.
You know, and let's go there for just a second. If the result holds, you know, what conversation are we going to have as conservatives, members of the GOP, you know, as it relates to the Never Trumpers and to the fact that there was so much animosity and a lack of being able to agree to disagree on the conservative side, on the right side, for those individuals that were out there saying, I can't support Trump. I can't. I've got my issues, and I'm not going to. And there was so much venom, and again, animosity within our own party. If he ends up pulling out this victory, you know, what do we do moving forward to prevent that from happening again? Because I don't think that was the right thing to do. I think we need to do a much, much better job of understanding individuals and their personal feelings about issues and their issues with Trump, which were very legitimate. And I was one of those people for a long, long time. You know, I'm just wondering, what can we do as a party to do a better job of reaching out to one another when we disagree?
You're asking me.
Well, we've had approximately 1 hour to process a whole lot, John.
Sorry, guys. I'm waiting for more results to come in.
Fox News has Trump at 222 electoral votes.
Wow.
Less than 50 away from locking this down. Clinton at 202, and Clinton's path is getting narrower and narrower. Mike, Wisconsin's going to be really important here, guys.
Let me put one on the watch list here for Minnesota.
Sure.
That would be another surprise out of the suburbs. And this hasn't been attributed yet. There's nothing on Star Tribune. There's nothing on the Secretary of State. But I've received a number of texts that said, watch the Ron Earhart district. He's a former Republican, now a Democrat in Edina. Who had a very strong challenger in Dario Anselmo that I think a lot of people wrote off just sort of based on the dynamic with Trump. I'm getting texts that one might be very close, if not a positive for the Republicans. So
you keep an eye on that.
Yeah,
Nick Zerwas has made his way back to our table, and he wants to chime in on this.
Well,
welcome back, Nick.
Thank you, gentlemen. That race was really upended when the TV commercial came out that showed Ron Earhart mocking
the victim of a sexual
assault, where someone deposited something in her coffee and he mocked her on the floor of the house
while she was speaking.
She was up top watching as her bill that was inspired by her story, as she was a victim of that sexual assault. And he stood up, grabbed his coffee cup, and began to lick it. And that clip and that story was turned into a political ad.
Yep.
And used in Edina.
That was one of the most effective ads I've ever seen.
I think that ad can be attributed to bringing down Representative Earhart if that early information holds and he were to lose his position.
Yeah, I'm with you. That was a powerful ad, and that was tough to sit through. That ad was, you couldn't not be affected by that ad. To hear her tell her story and to see him just acting like a fool, acting like a goof.
Yeah.
And I know he apologized later on, but that's the type of thing it's really hard to get past, and it's really hard to excuse that kind of behavior. And if that were just an isolated incident with Earhart, if that were the only time he kind of made a fool out of himself on the House floor.
Well, it's...
But it wasn't.
No, you had the bird flu issue,
yeah,
where the day turkey growers all across Minnesota came to the Capitol to cook turkey burgers to restore faith and confidence in the turkey crop in Minnesota, that turkey was safe to eat on that same day.
He showed up in a doctor's outfit.
Yeah, the doctor's coat. Everybody had a lab coat. Yeah.
And claimed that he became ill after eating the turkey burger and announced on the floor of the House that turkey grown in Minnesota was not safe to consume.
Right. Right.
I mean,
did that on the floor. And like, and he did it in a way that he thought he was being funny. He thought he was being cute. He thought he was being clever.
Just bizarre.
I don't think too many people would be sad to see him lose that race.
That's why I think
voters... I don't think too many GFLers would be sad to see him lose that race.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
651-989-5855. It's Justice and Drew. I'm John Justice. That man is Drew. Sam is here with us. We got Mike and Brian back at the TCNT studios manning the Minnesota desk. Bringing your phone calls to us. Nick Zerwas has joined us. We're here at the Radisson Blue, Mall of America, for the Minnesota GOP Victory Party. The room is getting fuller by the minute. I don't think they have enough beverages. Someone's going to have to do an ice run.
I just checked. We're
good
to
go. We're good to go? All right. It really is turning into an amazing night. I'm keeping an eye on a couple of these states that we're waiting to drop as the door slowly begins to close on Hillary Clinton, especially...
Well,
I just want
to point out an update on Wisconsin, because I think Wisconsin, if Wisconsin does end up going red, and keep in mind Ron Johnson beat Feingold, and that race wasn't particularly close either, so that's also a statewide race there. 66% in, 48% Trump, 46% Clinton, and from what I've been able to understand, a lot of Milwaukee County has already reported. So you're looking at outstate Wisconsin that hasn't reported yet, and if that's the case, lead's going to hold.
That should be strong.
That lead is going to go possibly even expand.
The other one we're keeping a close eye on, he's been up in New Hampshire for a while, 46-49. But, Drew, can you look at Michigan and tell us what the percentage of the vote is in there? Because she had closed about 15 minutes ago. She had closed within one or two. Clinton is now sitting 46 to Trump 49, and I'm just curious what percentage of the vote that they're looking at right now.
According to Real Clear Politics, 57% of the vote is in Michigan, and Trump's got a solid two-point lead. You're looking at 26 electoral votes between Wisconsin and Michigan, and with Trump right now sitting at 223, you put 26 more on there, he's looking at 249.
It's she has to pick up Wisconsin, Michigan, and Nevada.
Yeah.
Yes.
If she has any pathway. If she loses any one of those, we are very, very close. Very close.
What's so exciting, and I know he's our adopted senator from Wisconsin, but to see Ron Johnson come out on top when almost everybody had written him off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Harry Reid blocked his right to try bill solely because Senator Ron Johnson was the author and he wanted to punish him and use it as leverage for people to vote against him.
Right.
That his bill didn't pass.
Right.
I tell you what, this is just for me, personally, Senator Johnson's win in Wisconsin so far one of the highlights of my night.
That's got to mean a lot to you.
It really does.
Specifically because of that bill. And I know we joke about him being our adopted senator because he comes on the show and we can't get our senators on the show. But truthfully, I mean, all joking aside, he has become one of my favorite political interviews.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's a sharp guy. He's a smart guy. He's a genuine guy.
He'll go off script to have fun. He's not a talking points senator.
Well, yeah. And
I love that about him.
And let me provide, you know, as being, you know, a Minnesotan now, but having only been here about 3 months, let me add some perspective on that. Ron Johnson was a senator that I actually was very well aware of,
yeah,
and who I would interview quite often because he just was one of those senators that transcended beyond the state,
mm-hmm,
and he was just so solid, and I was very well aware of him long before any thought of coming here.
Does this elevate his role in the party on a national level?
Oh, I would say so. I would say that it's already been been elevated. I really would. He was well respected beyond Minnesota for a long, long time.
Mike and Brian, any Minnesota updates while we got a bit of a lull in states coming in right now?
No, other than it. Well, Brian may have some, but I'm just continuing to watch these rural Senate guys do very, very well and trying to sort of block and tackle our way to a majority here. They need a net of 6, and it's still looking like that's a strong possibility.
Yeah, and in the House, I mean, I don't know that we can ever say that we can completely close the window on the Republicans losing the House because so much is not in yet, but that path is certainly getting narrow and narrower. We need Burnsville, we need Apple Valley, we need Rosemount to start giving us some highlights here, but the races that I had on my watch list right now are looking good. Most of them are looking good GOP. Some of those are looking very good GOP, and they're starting to hold. I mean, as we get more and more precincts in, those leads are holding.
Can I offer one? And when we get to it, I have a Michigan observation that I wanted to make too from a friend of mine on the ground there.
Okay, yeah, but real quick, guys, before we do, you know, too soon to talk about, you know, what this means for, you know, say the coming year as it relates to Minnesota politics. Anything that you guys have been sort of gleaning off Mike and discussing?
Well, I mean, I think that we have to wait and see. You know, with control still up in the air with the Senate, you know, that would change a lot. However, it doesn't change as much as you'd think because you still need agreement between the House, the Senate, and the governor. Having 2 out of 3 does not give you any kind of special advantage, especially when you don't have the governor. We saw that with Governor Tim Pawlenty, who had this very same setup for a while with a Republican governor and a DFL House and Senate. The governor still controls a lot because he has the veto power.
Let me give you one.
Hey,
though,
hey guys, real quick, before we... before we jump in there, Eric Paulson is, it looks like he's about to take the stage here at the GOP Victory Party at the Radisson here at the Mall of America. So let's go ahead and listen to what he has to say.
We're still waiting on a lot of results, but things are looking pretty good tonight, all right? Hey, number one, couple of thank yous. I want to first of all thank my family. Of course, my wife, Kelly. 2 of my daughters who are here tonight, I could not do this without them, so thank you very, very much. I also want to make sure that I thank my opponent, Terry Bonoff. Terry ran a very strong campaign, and it's a time to reflect and remember and thank her for her 10 years of service to our great state of Minnesota. I also want to thank all the volunteers, the supporters, the activists who walked the long hours in the parades, who spent time going door to door, who made all of these phone calls for the last 3 weeks, culminating through today to victory tonight. I could not have done it without you, without your help, and without your support. And I'll be honest, I am very humbled at the voters of the 3rd District who have decided to reelect me to go back to Washington to work for them, to work for you. And I'll just tell you, I am ready to get back to work to get some important things done. And let's be honest, also, our country faces some very real challenges. People don't feel good about the direction that our country's been going. The economy isn't performing as well as it should. Many families are facing dire straits thanks to Obamacare, and we deserve to give them real health care reform that is patient-centered, that actually lowers costs and helps their pocketbooks. And finally, I think we need to reflect here and say this tonight. Voters are speaking loudly. They are speaking clearly. They want to fix a broken Washington. They want to see some things get done. And hopefully tonight we will see some more victories coming to Minnesota with Stuart Mills in the eighth, with Jason Lewis in the second, and of course with my colleague Tom Emmers, so we don't have to caucus in a phone booth. We have an opportunity to bring home some more conservative principles to the state of Minnesota. And now it is time to roll up our sleeves when we get back to Washington. The House is going to stay in Republican control. The Senate is going to stay in Republican control. We may win the White House. And then it is our obligation to work hard to bring common sense, conservative principles to Washington. You deserve it. The people of this country deserve it. And I will continue to work as hard as I can for all of you from Minnesota. Thank you very much. And God bless all of you in the great state of Minnesota. Tonight's just beginning.
That is Representative Eric Paulson, who did officially defeat Terry Bonoff in CD3 here in Minnesota, addressing the Minnesota GOP victory party here at the Radisson. Congratulations to him. I'm really, really happy that race went the way that it did.
And while we have a few minutes again, you're listening to Justice and Drew here on Twin Cities News Talk AM 1130, 103.5 FM, 651-989-5855. We're so glad that you're with us tonight. We've got Mike and Brian back at the TCNT studios. And guys, we have just a few minutes here, and I know you wanted to give us a bit of information on the ground coming out of Michigan. Clinton has closed the gap to one there. What do you guys have for us right now?
Yeah, let me just interject one little bit of Minnesota news. It is now official from reports on the ground in Minnesota that Paul Anderson has won in Senate District 44, which is Terry Bonoff's Senate seat. That is a pickup, and that would offset the loss of David Hand, which means if you run the table in greater Minnesota, the Senate will be in Republican majority hands when those results come in. So that's very exciting. As for Michigan, the counties I was told to watch from my colleague in Michigan were Oakland County and Macomb County. They're both in the Detroit orbit. They're both Detroit suburbs. What he told me was Oakland is the more college-educated, sort of wealthy, well-to-do county, and he thought if Clinton could win that by 55 points, that would be a really good night for her, and she'd probably win the state. I don't know, precinct by precinct, she's currently up 52-44, so not quite to my colleague's magic number. Macomb County, he said, is much more of the Reagan Democrat territory, and it's one that Obama has won. And Trump is winning there 54-41 by 33,000 votes. And so my guess is that's why Michigan hasn't been called yet, is that they're seeing these strong results from places that that are offsetting the 70% that Clinton's getting from Detroit.
Well, and again, when we're looking at Wisconsin, Trump is still holding at 49-46, and forecast models have been where they've been now for a good hour. If you look over at NewYorkTimes.com, they still have a forecast of a 95% Trump victory. 538 has changed their projection as well, and it's been moving all night towards Donald Trump.
What does this say, gentlemen, about the future of polling, predicting, and trying to figure this out moving forward? And I know the exact same conversation happened in November of 1980.
Oh, all right. They just called Wisconsin for Donald Trump.
Oh, my God.
Wow. How does Hillary come back from this?
She doesn't.
Wisconsin
she doesn't.
Has just been called for Trump. That is amazing.
She doesn't.
Wow. She doesn't come back. Wisconsin hasn't gone for Republican since 1984.
1984. I'm standing here stunned. The crowd is obviously, as you can hear, just ecstatic with this news. I think Hillary Clinton's path to 270
is just about gone.
Just got a lot narrower.
Sam, is this, what is it again? Hashtag?
Hashtag landslide.
You guys, John and Sam. I gotta give you guys credit.
All around.
I mean, I don't know that he's going to get to the 300 number that a lot of people look for to really call it a landslide. But, man,
you know what?
He's working his way up there right now.
I told you from the beginning, Andrew, if he wins it, I'm calling that a landslide.
And look, I want to address a bit of that coming back here in just a minute. 651-989-5855. This is live election coverage here at the Minnesota GOP, turning into the victory party that it was billed.
Yeah.
Yes.
Thanks to Mike and Brian, who are manning the Minnesota desk, taking your phone calls. We are Justice and Drew. That is Sam. And we have more live election coverage with you next on Twin Cities News Talk.
That's great. It starts with an earthquake. Birds and snakes and airplanes. Lenny Bruce is not afraid.
During the break, we learned that the Fox News has called... Oh, darn it, my computer. Wisconsin and Iowa,
yes.
For Trump during the break. Both Wisconsin and Iowa has been called for Trump.
This
crowd went absolutely nuts. And that path to 270 for Hillary Clinton is incredibly narrow, if it even still exists. Right now, every indication seems to point to Trump being the president-elect. So I have to throw the question out there. Hillary and her side, are they going to accept the election results?
Yes.
Election results?
I think what's going to happen is I think there's going to be, you know, much lamenting and gnashing of teeth. I think that if, you know, for everyone here but John and Sam, you know, we're all pretty surprised by this. Just think how surprised they are.
Oh my word.
They just showed a shot of him on Fox News. And
it was,
man,
the best shot ever. It's just a crowd of people just standing still, just staring.
Quite honestly, look for in the next, if this holds,
right,
and this happens, look for in the next few days out of media outlets and the big deep thinkers, look for the news articles and the op-eds and the talking heads to wonder, does this mean America's a racist?
Oh, I've already seen that. I've already seen
that
tweet.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we're racist.
You're not that creative, Zerwas.
Yeah, no. And I think what this is more than, you know, America is a racist country.
But wait for it. That will come.
No. That will absolutely come. However, I think that that what this more is that I think Americans are rejecting her actions more than his words.
I agree. Portion of that, but here's the other factor. This was a movement. When the Democrats and when Barack Obama won, they were voting for the man. And I was listening to a commentary on this earlier in the day.
Trump was just...
They finally called Georgia for Donald Trump. Look, what's happened with Donald Trump has been a movement.
Wow.
People saw him as a means and a catalyst to go and send a message. And that means different things for different people. So, yes, I don't disagree that there is a huge, huge negative, massive negative Hillary Clinton component to this. But I think it's a mistake.
Huge.
It's a mistake
huge.
To discount
huge.
The movement that Donald Trump handed a lot of people. I've been living with this thing. I mean, we all have for a year and a half.
And John, might I, you know, at the risk of being a homer here, I'm not saying this is likely, but I'm looking at the Minnesota results. It looks like there's a reason Minnesota hasn't been called yet, and that's because Hennepin and Ramsey appear to be largely in. And we still have outstanding results. Obviously, we know from Dakota County and Scott County, we can't get anything from them. Those should both be Republican, Scott for sure, and Dakota to some extent. Also, a number of greater Minnesota counties. It is not impossible that Trump, who's only down by 150,000 votes in Minnesota, it's not impossible. I think it's unlikely, but I think there's a reason it hasn't been called.
Well, do we have St. Louis County? And
we have parts of St. Louis County, and I think I know where you're going with this, Nick. I think they're trying to figure out how many votes to manufacture.
Yeah.
Well, and I think that, you know, the Dakota County seats that Mike is referencing are, a lot of them are the disputed seats. It is the Roz Peterson seat. It is the former Tara Mack seat. So these are seats that were definitely in play and were heavily targeted by the DFL get out the vote and door knock machine. When those votes start rolling in, I will be very interested to see, you know, whether Dakota County, the Apple Valley area, the Burnsville area, whether they're going to follow suit, or is this going to be an anomaly? I don't know what to expect.
We got a couple calls. Let's take line one, Mike in Farmington. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, thanks, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my call. If Trump is to win the presidency, what my question is, how much of the fuel for this was driven by Obama's aggressive leftist policies, where the country said, you know, hey, we'll give this Obama guy a chance. Yeah. And people saw the result of that. And now the pendulum is finally, maybe it's going to swing back the other way. I'll hang up and listen.
I think that's a point that I wanted to bring up a little earlier that I think has gone very much underreported. A lot of people like to analyze the ascendancy of Trump. What does he represent? Where did he come from? What is this a response to?
But nobody talks about of Obama.
Yes, nobody talks about how Trump is in a large part a creation of the Obama administration.
If we're a divided nation, who bears responsibility for that after 8 years of dividing us by race and class and any other number of ways?
Who's been our quote-unquote leader for the last 8 years? It's been President Obama. What are people reacting to? They are reacting to Obama's failed and lack of leadership. That you cannot discount that in the ascendancy of Donald Trump. Joining us now, getting ready to start his second term in the House of Representatives, Representative Tom Emmer. Congratulations.
I learned it all on the morning show with you, Andrew.
That's right.
Good to see you, John.
Pat myself on the back here.
And you, Mr. Zerwas.
Yeah, he's talking to you, Nick.
Great to see you.
Sam?
See you,
sir.
Hello.
Congratulations, Tom. Congratulations. We're really happy to send you back there. With an emboldened Republican majority in the House, I have to believe. And possibly a very strong Republican majority, an emboldened Republican majority in the Senate. And now it's looking like you may have a president of your own party to work with. How excited are you?
Oh, it's an exciting night, but I got a word of caution for all Republicans out there and, frankly, Americans. And the word of caution is this. You run for office. You run to win. But you win to govern. The American people expect something. So what they're saying tonight is, we got somebody that showed up, who spoke up. You know, he may not be perfect. He's just a human being. But he was talking to us at our level, and he was telling us, I care about you. I care about your future economically. I care about your children's future. And by the way, I want to make sure that you're safe in your communities and you're safe around the world. That's what he was saying. You know what? The other side wasn't saying that. And they weren't listening to the American people. And I'm going to tell you, we're going to go back, if this happens, starting in January, we better be prepared to deliver.
Yeah.
You run to win, but you win to govern.
You know, and the one thing and it goes to what you just said. You know, I had my issues with Donald Trump for a long, long time. And I contended that the only way I wasn't going to vote for him is if I had left the GOP. And I wasn't ready to do that. The GOP still stands for everything that I believe in terms of my ideologies. In this last week, and I'll straight up, that final argument ad that he put out
was really powerful.
Yes. I walked into that polling booth today and proudly cast my vote. And the part of it that really, really stuck out was when he emphasized you, meaning talking to us. We're putting the power in your hands. And I went, that's what I've been waiting for this whole campaign.
So young people aren't going to be able to relate to this, but you are not that far behind me. I think when I tell you The reason it hit you was because that was Reagan-esque.
Yes. Yes.
What he did was incredibly Reagan-esque.
Absolutely.
For the first time, we actually have been hungry for this. And by the way, young people are going to recognize if he continues to grow in this way. And by I got to tell you, this is a guy who I've met now a couple of times. P.T. Barnum out on the street, all business behind closed doors. And if he continues to surround himself with people like he's been doing, Mike Pence, General Mike Flynn, he continues... Could you imagine a Trump administration with Giuliani as the attorney general? Could you imagine? You want to see a Justice Department that finally works on behalf of the American people instead of for the established political machine. You put Giuliani in charge of it, and you have Trump and Giuliani working together. The other one, a Secretary of State, perhaps, and pure conjecture. But what about a Newt Gingrich as a Secretary of State for the United States of America?
Wow.
We're starting to talk once again about these are people who actually have substance. We're not going to have to listen to a guy go over and tell us that this is not a treaty, it's an agreement, and therefore we don't have to bring it to the U.S. Senate. They are not going to play games with the American people. And you know what, Andrew, to your point, I think that's really what this is all about.
Yeah.
I think the American people have finally had enough of watching this. It doesn't matter what level you are at in this socioeconomic... I mean, you listened to Trump on Sunday. He said, if you are an African-American living in the urban cities, we are here for you. We are talking to you. If you are a single mom, wherever, we are talking to you. If you are one of our veterans that has not been taken care of at the level you should be taken care of, we are talking to you. Again, he set the tone. The question is, will the Republican Party that they're going to send back with this administration, it appears, will it deliver? Because it better.
I think that's really the key to all of this. The story of this election is not over after tonight. The story of this election is, what does this party look like after Trump governs, after the Republican majorities sent to the Congress, after they govern? What do they accomplish in the next 4 years? Because if they do not deliver on Trump has made some very big promises. He has made some large promises, promises that are going to be very tough to deliver, honestly. And if he does not deliver, this is this could be a very different looking GOP in 2 years or 4 years.
There's really no reason that he shouldn't be able to deliver, and
you're
will give you this.
You're right.
This was the failing, I believe, of the Jesse Ventura governor experience, right? He had this mandate where he was coming in. They didn't like Republicans or Democrats. But when he got there, Andrew, he had to work with Republicans and Democrats in the House and the Senate. Donald Trump, whether you think he's your poster boy conservative or not, whether you think he's truly a Republican or not, I don't care. Donald Trump is going there with Mike Pence.
Yeah,
Mike Pence understands the legislative process. He's
You're
worked
right.
with Republicans and Democrats.
That's a good
you
point.
Want to get an agenda through the U.S. Congress.
That is such
you bring
a good point.
Somebody with Mike Pence's experience, and guess what? You got a great opportunity to change the direction of this country for the better.
Tom Emmer, great night so far, man. This has been—it's absolutely historic, and so proud to be a part of it. 651-989-5855.
John, it's all you. You just got here, and look what happened.
John, thank goodness.
John,
you're
Justice.
Here.
Somebody thanked me for the weather a little while ago.
And they should.
I think you brought a little bit of.
Well, my family and my boys are very disappointed it's not snowing, and
you
I said, just wait.
John brings the heat, we bring the water.
Hey, John may John could be responsible for Trump being in striking distance here in Minnesota. We got a little over 50% of the precincts reporting, and, you know, he's behind, but he's not that far behind.
He's close.
Let's take a quick break. We're sitting here. We got Nick Zerwas. We got Tom Emmer, John Justice. I'm Drew, Sam Sansevier, Mike, and Brian from Wrong About Everything are at the Minnesota desk. We're going to update you on some Minnesota results on the other side. And don't forget, starting 6 o'clock tomorrow morning, make sure that you tune in for results, reaction, analysis. We're going to talk to Pete Hegseth. We're going to talk to who did we have on? Who did we have booked?
Oh, you got Tim, you're a comedian.
Oh, yeah, Tim Slagle. I completely blanked on his name.
That's
Tim
all right.
Slagle
Last
is going to join us.
I
was under the impression we were going to need some levity tomorrow. So I booked a comedian to come in
said.
And sit in with us.
Sucker.
I was under the impression we were going to have to lighten the mood. Well, maybe not.
Okay.
We'll find out.
How is David Belford not called in?
I know, right? And Jamar as well. We'll be right back.
You are listening to election coverage with Justice and Drew on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130 and 103.5 FM.
Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130, 103.5 FM. Justice Andrew, you can hear us every weekday morning from 6 to 9 a.m. on AM 1130, 103.5 FM, or anywhere on your iHeartRadio app. And if you missed any of the show, or you want to get caught up on past episodes, check out the podcast page on TwinCitiesNewsTalk.com.
651-989-5855. If you want to take part in the broadcast this morning, we are this evening,
right?
Going to be morning soon, broadcasting live from the Minnesota GOP Victory Party. We got Mike and Brian.
Mimosas at dawn, guys.
Mimosas, baby.
Yeah.
Back at the back at the Minnesota desk at the TCNT studios, keeping an eye on things. Well, you've been helping us nationally. You've been helping us locally as well. What's the latest? What are you guys seeing?
Yeah, so I'll start with the Senate. Brian will give you the House. Here's how I'm looking at it right now. The GOP has essentially, as I've reported throughout the night, swapped the loss of Senator Hamm with the pickup of Paul Anderson in Senate District 44. We're adding to that the seats of Senator Vicky Jensen, who's already conceded, Senator Matt Schmidt in Red Wing, Democrat, who's down outside the margin, and the seat of Senator Stumpf, which is currently the Republican candidate there, Mark Johnson, is ahead by over 3,000 votes. Rod Skoy, the current tax chairman in Northwest Minnesota, is losing by 2,000 votes currently. That's only 24% in. And Senator Kevin Dahl in the Northfield area is losing by about 2,400. That would be a net pickup of 5 for the Minnesota Republicans. Looking at the district in St. Cloud that's currently held by Senator John Peterson, the Republican candidate there, Jerry Ralph, is close. He's within 300 votes with 10 precincts left to report.
Now that would not be a pickup.
That would be a hold.
That's a hold.
That would be a hold. So it's still, I'd say, very, very close. There, you'd still need one or two of these, like a Lyle Kunin to come in Senate District 17, the Wilmer area. But guys, at this point, I'm looking, the DFL majority in the Senate is going to be one at most, if not a Republican majority in the Senate.
And in the House, where Republicans have the majority, I mean, right now the Democrats have only picked up one seat, and that was Chad Anderson's seat in Bloomington, which was something we won in a special election. It was a 57% Obama district. Anne Lencheski had that seat before him. She was a Democrat who would get 66% of the vote. So that was a seat that we were renting anyway. Everything else that the DFL is winning tonight, that's at least that was on our list of possibilities, are DFL holds. In you know, right now it's looking like Republicans have a good chance of picking up a fair amount of seats. But right now in 4B, in 14A and 14B, in 21A, 28B, 44A, I mean, these are seats that Republicans are holding. I mean, right now it is looking so good.
Well, and the pickup with Earhart.
And the pickup, yeah, and I was going to say, and in 49A, it's now official that Ron Earhart has lost to Dario Anselmo.
Where's the applause sounder when you need it?
Yep.
Where is the applause sounder when you need it? Nicely done.
Rochester right now is holding for the Democrat. That was an open seat, but there's still a long way to go there. Now, we're still waiting for Burnsville. We're still waiting for Apple Valley. We're still waiting for Rosemount. We're still waiting for Invergrove Heights, and those are all seats that are in play. But
you know what? You know why you don't have those results yet? Because you don't have light rail going out to those areas. All the other results get brought in on light rail.
Right. You have finally seen the light.
And now you never mind.
Well, we do what we do. We do have the Cedar Avenue busway, and Republicans like buses. So.
Yeah, exactly. All right, joining us now, we're pleased that Head of County Commissioner Jeff Johnson has stopped by. Hello.
Hey, guys. How
you doing, man?
It is a fun night.
Yeah?
I would say.
Oh, fun?
Wow! Yeah. To say the least. This is a very good party right now.
You know what? Tomorrow, though, regardless of what you think of Trump, it is going to be so much fun to watch people's heads explode tomorrow, assuming that this continues the way it looks.
And, right. I asked the question earlier, you know, much was made about Trump's answer about how, are you going to accept their election results? And he said, well, I'll let you know. I'm really curious to hear how all those people who were so outraged by that statement, I want to see them on Twitter tomorrow, because I've already seen some prominent local liberal friends call this election a coup. They've used the word a coup.
And by the way, we got to take a break here in just a moment, but our friend of the show and friend of ours, Fox News contributor Katie Pavlich, She just texted me.
Yeah.
Saying I was right.
No, you were right.
Sam.
Woo!
You were
high
right.
High five, buddy.
Landslide.
Was there a hashtag associated with that?
Hashtag landslide.
What is, real quick, we're inside a minute, but sure. You're just your quick headline thoughts on what we've seen here tonight so far.
Amazing. Yeah. I was not expecting this tonight. I didn't think it was going to be a landslide the other way, but I really did not expect this, and it gives me hope in Minnesota because for once we're not outside of the little wave. We're actually following suit, and it's good.
You put a really poignant note, I thought, up on Facebook earlier today talking about your vote. I read it. I would encourage others, go on Facebook, look up Jess Johnson. See what he wrote today. I thought it was really thoughtful and
so
really
well
put. Stick around if you can. We're coming back on the other side. We've got to take a quick news break. Nick Zerwas, Jeff Johnson, John Justice, Andrew Lee, Mike and Brian, Sam Sansevier. We will be back in just a couple minutes.
On AM 1130, 103.5 FM, 100.3 HD2, and worldwide on iHeartRadio. This is the Twin Cities News Talk Station, KTLK AM, Minneapolis.